absolute touching on the very deep touching of Krishna consciousness. It is called overcoming attachments or overcoming sexual attachments. So we are ready now. Yes, we are ready to start.
Bye. stimulate your own thoughts in the same way.
You might at times be quite surprised about the bluntness in which I address certain subject matters, but those who know me have decided to permit me to do so because it helps to bring out some truth which otherwise might remain hidden. So let us start. Once the great, I have said this already to a few devotees, and they encouraged me I should start like this today, so I will, on the request of my master, Kanu Babu, I will start like this. Once there was the great saint Jaimini Rishi. He was well known because he had summarized a whole bunch of Vedic knowledge, and he came to his spiritual master and said, "Gurudev." "Yes," said Śrīla Vyāsadeva, "what do you want to do?" "Gurudev, I want to tell you that I am now beyond sexual attraction. It has no attraction any longer for me." Śrīla Vyāsadeva looked at his disciple and said, "Yes, this is what you think." "Yes, I'm very sure," said Jāmini. Vyāsadeva smiled. And he said, "My dear son, I have planned to go on a pilgrimage. I will leave you for a month or so. Then we will discuss the subject matter." So Vyāsadeva disappeared. Now, a few days later, Jāmini was walking through the forest. He was just on his way home to his beautiful hermitage. And then, underneath a very beautiful tree, next to a lake, he saw the most beautiful of women which he had ever seen. And this woman was not a material woman. She was dressed in saffron cloth. She was a sattvi, a female sattvi. "Oh," said Jāmini, "and may I know who you are?" "Oh, I'm a wandering monk. I have taken to the path of asceticism, and I want to go to the holy place Vajranath." "Oh, this is still a very long way to go," said Jāmini Rishi. "Yes, I know," said the sati. "My dear sadhu, can you please help me? I'm here in the midst of the forest, and I do not know where to rest this night." "Said Jāmini, I've not found your route very well. This is in the midst of the dark forest. The sun is setting. There's no place to go. I only have a little hermitage." "Maybe I can come to this hermitage." "Yes," said Jāmini. So, as Jāmini, we have just started, so you are not missing anything. As Jāmini looked at the sati, he couldn't say that he did not notice her beauty, but he was beyond attraction. That's at least what he thought. So he took the sati to his hermitage, and there was only one cottage. So he said, "You sleep for the night in this cottage, and I will stay outside of the cottage and sleep there." So as he was falling asleep, a storm began to appear, and it became cooler and cooler, and finally it rained, and the raindrops appeared to be raindrops of ice. Jāmini came shivering in the cottage and said, "Let me in." So the sati opened, and she looked at him with eyes full of female eyes seem to question, is it all right? A man and a woman in the same cottage in the midst of the night. This is maybe not all right. Jamie said, I'm a sadhu. I'm beyond this attraction to the physical body. I'm Atmavan. I know that the soul is eternal. And don't suspect me in such foolish way. And the sadhu lay down on one side of the cottage and Jamie on the other. He fell asleep. So as he began to sleep, dreams came and disturbed his mind. Dreams from the samsaras, not only one life, but previous lifetimes. He saw women, and men in embrace, and he was remembering, it seems, his previous incarnations and attachments. And all of a sudden, he felt desire, the variety of desire going through his mind. He woke up. He saw on the other side, in the dim light of the oil lamp, the sadhu, and pushed by uncontrollable desires, he couldn't help, but he ran over and he lay upon her, and his hand moving hastily towards the face, and as he was touching the face, he touched her beard. He was satisfied. He ran up and put more oil on the oil lamp, and the light went up, and there he saw Srila Vyasadeva. Looking at him with eyes full of a smile, he said, "My dear son, never say again that you are free from sexual attraction. The moment you say it, Maya listens and she will send to Shaktis in order to divert your attention from the spiritual path. Maya has two Shaktis, we all know. The Avadanatmika Shakti, which is covering the pure knowledge, and the Brahmshivatmika Shakti, that energy which draws the living entity of uncontrollable desires towards the material direction." So this was our little focus for this evening's lecture. Sexual attractions are there in everyone. Prabhupada says that even the mind of a great, of a sadhu can be momentarily disturbed by this type of attraction. But because he's fixed on the spiritual platform, he does not feel and he does not will. His feeling and willing are controlled, and therefore he does not become agitated, and he does not want to have material in relationships. Srila Prabhupada was once engaging in a discussion with his disciples about this aspect, that even a sadhu sees female beauty was becoming manifest, and that it was becoming manifest that they are not feeling, becoming emotionally stirred up and drawn to enjoy. Prabhupada said one day, "Today we want to discuss what women are the most beautiful." And then one disciple of a girl in Europe, everyone says the French women are the most beautiful women. No, the Bengali women are. Also the Englishmen have said. And then one disciple who was becoming disturbed said, "Prabhupada, isn't Krishna the most beautiful?" You know, almost as if Prabhupada was talking about something which was not, he didn't have the highest spiritual perspective, and now his disciple needed to introduce the highest spiritual perspective. And Prabhupada said, "We are not talking of Krishna, we are talking of beautiful women." Great sadhu also notices, but he doesn't become become totally attached, emotionally, totally bewildered, the bondages of desire, he doesn't become covered as an ordinary person. So today we would like to discuss sexual attraction from the point of view of a sadhu. No one here should become educated, but you should see it with an analytical mind, so that at the end of the class you will no longer go into unhealthy attachments which disturb you in from your spiritual path. In the Bhagavad Gita, it has been said by the Lord that this lust is the worst type of enemy of the conditioned soul. He says in the third chapter, text number 33, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, and I would request you to say after me, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, Raja Rola Samut Bhava, Shalo Mahapapma, Vidyenam Iha Vairinam, this verse, the Supreme Lord answers a desperate question of Arjuna. Arjuna once thinks about surrendering to the Supreme Lord, but he says it's so difficult because all this I experience, that despite my better intention and desire, I am forced almost helplessly to act against my better knowledge. What is it which causes me to act against my better knowledge? Do you also feel sometimes like this? Here the Lord says, it was lust only, Arjuna. It is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath. And this is the all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. Lust is the enemy of knowledge. His birthplace is the mode of passion. And then he arises, or when it arises, or when she arises, she takes on a form which devours the spiritual drive for spiritual life. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead describes it to be like a powerful, all-devouring enemy. You cannot see lust. Cupid is described to be Ananga, he who is without a body. But this doesn't make karma less powerful. Ayurveda has it that karma is pervading every single cell of the human organism and also the animal organism. It is there that the bondage, the binding force to the material energy. Why can we say is karma the binding force to material life? Well, there is no greater force which pulls you into the material concept of life. There is no greater energy which makes you believe that you are the body. In karma, in the activity of karma, all the panch indriyas, the five senses, are on fire. They are engaged. Therefore, karma, or let
change their sexual activity, create the most deep samskaras or impressions in the human psychology. The ordinary, the normal person, this is what psychologists say, thinks 9 times in a minute about sex. Now you must say, this is not me. I was never like this. I mean, this must be a gross exaggeration by the foolish Western psychologists. But listen, the moment you think your body, the moment you think of enjoying, you are in some ways connected with karma, with lust. The highest expression of lust, or the deepest expression of lust, we can say, is sexual activities. But karma has many other roads in which it goes into the world. There is an origin of this powerful force, karma. In the origin, you will rejoice and will be very happy. It's love. Love for Krishna. Love of Krishna is the most powerful force of the living entity. But then we forget Krishna and come into this material world. This love, which is pure, which is meant to go towards Krishna, becomes diverted towards the material energy and towards a sexual partner. If the love that is focused on a body, it becomes lust. If love is focused on money, it becomes greed. If love becomes focused on the benefit of others, it becomes compassion. Love is at the root of the most strongest human emotions. The moment, however, it comes in contact with the material energy, it becomes diverted. Hare Krishna Vaishnava Seva. This is my Dr. Vaishnava Seva. He has yesterday captured me with deep ropes of affection. I am his prisoner and servant now. So I would like to make this very clear to you by giving you a little analogy on physics, because you will need to understand this point in order to understand how to overcome sexual attraction. I will take you now into a classroom of physics. In physics, there is an experiment with light that a prisma. Prisma looks like a triangle, but it is like a pyramid, you can say. Like a pyramid is used. In this prisma, pure white light is directed. Now, as it meets the middle of the prisma, it becomes diverted and goes out of the prisma with a spectrum of colors. It's the same light, so to say, the pure white light, which becomes, first of all, diverted, and then divided into different sections. This is also what happens as our love for Krishna hits the material energy or comes in contact with the material energy. All of a sudden, this pure white light of Ladini Shakti and Sangvi Shakti, this prema, becomes diverted and it looks differently. It takes on the color of Rajagun and of Tamagun and other, there are different shades in which lust becomes manifested. So if you want to overcome sexual attraction, what you need to do is you need to go back on this process. and come back to the original pure energy of the living soul, which is ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this lecture, we will give you ways and means how to do this reverse process. There is a good reason, or let me say, a good usage for sex. As we have said, sex is originally coming from pure love of Krishna. And if it is used in Krishna's service within the Grihastha Ashram, then Krishna says, I am with sex. In the 10th canto, what is the 10th chapter? 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am that sex which is according to Dharma, because it is the pure energy which becomes, let me say, coded in this material world with the physical body and the physical sexual pleasure. That is all, that all originates from Krishna. Love originates from Krishna, and the material energy originates from Krishna. Love and the material energy becomes sexual lust as we know it in this material world. So both of it, the love and the material energy, originate from Krishna. If it is used in his service within the Grihastha Ashram, then the Lord says, I am that energy. We call this sexual life according to religious principles. I do not wish to talk so much about this subject matter this evening, because I feel as a sannyasi I should not go too much into the detail, but I want to encourage those of you who are in the Grihastha Ashram to maybe ask learned Grihastha who can tell you if you have a desire to conceive a Krishna conscious child. Now, today I want to speak more about illicit sex. There is a very interesting creation. If a person has sex, so activity in this material world, there will be a natural consequence, that is children. Now, to rear children, first of all, to rear children in the womb for a woman is not an easy activity. The birth is not an easy activity. And later, to bring up a child is not an easy activity. It is full of responsibility and self-sacrificing. A child, to bring it up, costs in America $250,000, which is a major investment. And everyone has to work for this. It is a lower middle class standard. I do not know how much rupees it costs in India, but it will be also a shocking amount if you will hear it. There is, in other words, a lot of sacrifice involved in doing this activity for both the woman and the husband. Now Krishna has made it, this is taken from Prabhupada's purpose, that there is also a little reward, and that is despite all this pain which is there in child rearing and child conceiving, there is some pleasure. Prabhupada said the sexual organs are covered with a pleasure coating. It's a subtle energy, subtle layer of prana, which it comes in contact with when the private parts, which are used during conception, come in contact with each other, there is an immense feeling of temporary happiness. This is made so that people at all go for this this great sacrifice. Otherwise, they wouldn't do this. You know, this would not be there. It would be just labor. And everyone would say, I will avoid it. But there's one thing in this life which I want to absolutely avoid. It is sex. You know. But because there is a little reward for this tremendous sacrifice, you know, therefore people go for it. Now, in illicit sex, people want the stimulation of this covering without paying the price. They want to educate this covering without giving birth to children. And they have a tremendous amount of, you know, activities, and this is called illicit. By this illicit activity, the human being wants to cheat the laws of God, but God cannot be cheated. And therefore, as a result of trying to avoid the natural pain of revealing responsibility, the people have to suffer tremendous miseries. Here, that someone who performs illicit activities, first of all, suffers in a very important principle which one needs to execute the path of Dharma, and this is cleanliness. Cleanliness, I feel when we talk about cleanliness in this context, the amount of contamination which is there and which destroys cleanliness is really not so much in the physical platform as it is in the mental platform. Someone who constantly meditates about this attraction to the opposite sex becomes very much contaminated in his mind. He invites the modes of passion and ignorance by this constant meditation. Someone who is constantly agitated for this in this agitation is unable to think of the auspicious Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mind is covered with greed and lust and with pictures of material enjoyment which will slowly drag him down. Now if he engages in this, this is a mental uncleanliness which comes. If he engages in the activity, his whole body, these cells, will become polluted by the flames of lust, which will devour his whole physical well-being. In the Vishnu Samhita, it is said, a direct reaction to lusty activities are varicose veins. If someone has varicose veins, has a certain malfunction of the veins, that is a physical reaction. Now, varicose veins, I know, is one of the most well-spread diseases of the civilization. Diseases begin to contaminate the physical being. Constantly contaminated by the lower modes of material nature, greed, which turns into frustration and then anger. It is very sad to witness that there is a fire which burns the vital force of human beings, which is meant for spiritual realization. It's the fire of lust which is spread, especially by the agents of Kali, all over. And we who are now entering the movement for Krishna consciousness as young students, I still fire. When I remember Lord Buddha's first class, I was not there, I mean, in I wanted to say, I remember what he said in his first class. his audience and he said, I see you are all on fire. Hari Balava. Yes, no Hari Balava in this audience. You are on the fire. No, I'm sorry. Not Hari Balava. Harry. The fire of lusty desires. Lord Krishna talks about this in several places in Shastra. This fire is a fire because it cannot be satisfied by the amount of sexual of fuel which you put into it. No matter how much you feed the fire, it will become more and more ravaging. Therefore Krishna says, at the very beginning, you must control lust. Otherwise, there is no chance for spiritual advancement. Now, I would like to discuss a few two traditions, what they do to conquer this fire of lust. This is what I will do. You will have to judge if these traditions are valuable for you. And then, after bringing two foreign traditions into our focus, I will go into our own Krishna conscious tradition and will tell you a few remedies for this type of attraction. First, I would like to go to a tradition from which many Western devotees come. It's a Christian tradition. In the Christian tradition, there was something like a monk order, and the monks would recognize that love for God was not possible without sexual restraint. And therefore, they went in monasteries where they performed this restraint. Now, one of the fathers of the Christian church, Origen, noticed that although he was in a monastery far away from the women of Alexandria, the women were always in his mind. And he thought, this is so terrible, I'm so lusty, that he actually destroyed in a terrible act of self-mortification the functioning of his private parts. He was so much desperate by this that he actually emasculated himself or castrated himself in utter desperation. He wanted love of God, but he thought it was not possible as long as he had the powerful male organs who were desiring this pleasure due to the pleasure coating. Then he found out, he wrote in his diary, that he had underestimated lust or karma. Karma was not residing really in this part of the human body, but it was residing even deeper in the mind. So later, Christian theologians were having to address this powerful force which would drive the monks into acts of despair. And this was an extreme example. And they came up with something very interesting, which I find is interesting in our discussion. They said, if someone wants to perform celibacy, he must use the sexual energy in another way. He must use it in a creative way. He must build up a society. He must show and display kindness towards others. Otherwise, if he just locks himself up, so to say, or locks himself away from society and away from women, or there are also nuns who lock themselves away from men, then because it is so powerfully residing in the mind, it will come back in the form of memory. So you must use the energy in positive ways. And they gave a very interesting example, the example of a river. When a river flows, if you just block it, then the force of the river will eventually become so strong that it will tear away the blockade and create a devastating flood. Therefore, build next to the river, or next to the dam, a little outlet through which you can let the water come and move turbines. We were in the state of Anja, visiting the Sri Salam, and there we saw how Anja had made this dam of the Krishna Veni, and I heard half of Anja is Anja's lightwork fed by this dam only. There a little overflow, and this overflow is used to drive turbines. So in this way, the Christian monk said, we can use the sexual energy in a non-sexual way, which will not create attachment and lust, and the fire of lust, but we use it in creative functions. I think it is interesting, and you might like to think about this. One thing which Krishna says is also repression cannot work. And we have seen many sad stories, even in lives of sannyasis who had tried to block this powerful force, but who had not found a way to engage it without mining the material like that. For years fought with it, and then all of a sudden it just came so powerfully through that it bound them. We have, for instance, the example of Vishvamitra Muni, who meditated, and when Menaka was sent, he was lured by the female charms. We have also Sadhvis, that means women, saints, who have broken their vows of chastity or celibacy when Maya tested them. We even know from the 11th canto that when someone, for instance, takes sannyas, the demigods create an illusory form of his previous life and allure them so that he comes away from the path and engages the Dhyana Maya. Also, a woman in the spiritual life who practices celibacy will be tested in some way or another. This comes usually by Maya Shakti. So the Christian monks say, transform, but use it on a higher principle. Do not wish to give a comment here on the Christian way, because this lecture is a lecture for thinkers. I will not give you all the answers. You will have to think yourself what you can, if you can use it or not, or what is your own thing. I like to give such. This lecture was given to students, and it's always good to leave some area for intellectuals where they can think on their own, where they have not your own opinion, and so on. I want to give you now a process which the yogis, the impersonalistic yogis, practice to try to overcome lust or karma. There is a very interesting way. They try to meditate about Aham Brahmasmi. They start in a Shantya way, in an Shantya means a type of analysis, that this desire really is only happening between the sense objects and the sense objects. But I, as a pure soul, have nothing to do with it. Only at the moment that I identify with this natural attraction between the senses and the sense objects, I'm using the spiritual platform and become drawn into this attraction, and I become a victim to this. It's an interesting meditation. They say, this feeling is not my feeling. It is between the senses and the sense objects, but I'm an eternal soul. And there is a prayer which they personally use, which goes like this. Thou art an eternal soul. Do not give in to lust, which is foreign to you. And this is a different translation. I do not just remember the Sanskrit at this moment. They think it's an illusion. But very often it doesn't work because it's a mental process only. What is the Krishna conscious way? The Krishna conscious way is that you, by meditating about the source of everything, Krishna, you develop your original love back, that means the ray of light which became diverted into the material world, becomes again the pure light. I want to say it to you in a very simple way. There is Rama. There is no Kama. There is Kama. There is no Krishna. For those of us who are simple like me, this is very nice. Kama doesn't have it. But although it is truly simple, it is a true point. Krishna is the original Kamadeva. This is described in the last line of the Gayatri Mantra. I cannot give you more than this because the Guru gives this mantra at the time of Diksha to his disciples. But this much I can say. Krishna is the original Kamadeva. In him there are 24 and a half moons which rise. Krishna looks very beautiful. When the onlooker of Krishna's face becomes dissatisfied, he thinks, why didn't the Creator give me thousands and millions of eyes? Why has he given me only two? Even these two eyes are disturbed by blinking, which keeps me from continuously seeing Krishna's face. Thus one accuses the Creator of being dry and tasteless due to engaging in severe austerity. Too much tapatya. You have no idea what love is. You have made these eyes that they blink and then we don't see Krishna. You are a fool. Why didn't you make blink-free eyes? The Creator is only a dry manufacturer, the devotee said. He does not know how to create and set things in the proper place. Then Lord Chaitanya becomes totally engaged in describing the beautifully body of the Lord. Oh my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than the body. The soft smile on his face, which is like the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. My dear Sanatan, the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of ambrosia. Although my mind is now afflicted by convulsive diseases and I wish to drink that entire ocean. The repressive physician does not allow me to drink even one drop. When the Lord, when the devotee sees the Lord for the first time, you know, when he comes through the development of the platform of prema, when he sees the Lord, then all his eyes drink in the beauty of the Lord, and he faints. Then, Kamadev is now Kamadev, it's called Kamadev Krishna. The five arrows, which are the five perceptions of his beauty. He sees, and then he faints. Then Krishna plays on his flute. And the devotee spends all the senses at that moment turn into ears which want to absorb the sound of Krishna's flute. It is so sweet. And then he faints. At that moment, the devotee smells the beautiful smell which emanates from Krishna's transcendental body. In Vrindavan, Krishna has a struggle when he disappears. His fragrance is still in the air, so he can really never disappear totally. And the Katila and Kutila say, we know the smell. It is from the Lanka. Then all these organs want to become like noses. Then again he faints. Then the Lord, the soft body touches his devotee. Again he wakes up. Lord says, my dear devotee, now be fully satisfied by seeing me totally to your full satisfaction. And then the devotee can see at once have all the impressions of Krishna's sweetness. So here Lord Chaitanya says, this is the ambrosia of nectar, but the physician doesn't allow me to take it. In other words, he laments that he doesn't have this this darshan or this perception of the Lord. So because the Lord is the original Kamadev, the moon is compared to be the moon, like the moon, 24 and a half moons, not just one moon. The space is one moon, the Tilak is one moon, the Chika, two moons, and so on. There is the physical attraction in this material world by that Kama Gayatri mantra which we send. We focus our attention on the Kamadev, and when you are free from physical lust, free from the reflection, then you can send it purely, and Yashodayat, the moons of Krishna's beauty will rise in your consciousness. So, the first, this is from Vishwanatha Chakravarti, this description which you have just now heard. The first, so let us say the original source of all is Krishna. And by going back to Krishna, you will not become infected by the reflection of karma. This is here in the material world, this lust which binds you and contaminates your consciousness and pulls you from one body to the next. Now, after having said so far, I will give you now a few mechanical advices how you can overcome lust. This is mechanical, it is analytical, and I will explain them with the ultimate solution which Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita. So, my first solution was meditate on the original source of all, that is from Krishna. The second comes now under the section B. If you want to be free of karma, you must learn to direct your mind away from karma. For instance, when you are together in a temple, this beautiful woman, the restful mind can sometimes go to the woman, or if you are in a woman's body, the restful mind can go to muscular men begin to totally disturb your meditation on Krishna. You see, you don't look rather Rash Bihari, but you look at him, you don't see him. I remember when I came to the temple and the devotees brought me to before the altar. They said, "What do you think of our beautiful altar?" And I said, "Wonderful, there's so many nice flowers. I couldn't see the Lord." Because at that time I was engaged in material activities, very mildly. You must learn to make a conscious effort to pull your mind away from the sense objects, bring it under the control of the self. You cannot allow your mind to just go anywhere and everywhere. When you see it, it goes in a direction which is not favorable. You must be very careful. If you allow your mind to daydream intensities which are not spiritual, you will see that the mind becomes totally bewildered after some time and then parts you into material activity. Bring the mind under the control of the self. Learn this. I would even like to challenge all of you. We have about 10 more minutes in this lecture. Why don't you try to keep you, pull your mind always back to the lecture when you want to talk? Try for 10 minutes, you will sweat after some time. But it's an exercise. And the more you have exercised this, the easier it will be for you to engage in your spiritual practice of Krishna consciousness. Choose to direct the mind on Krishna. The mind is so powerful that the Lord speaks about a basic principle of psychology. He says, Sadata Bhava Bhavita, wherever the mind is, there you will be. I believe last year I've given this example in the Radha Gopinath Mandir, but I will give it here again. My father once told us about some very amazing thing which happened when he was the director of the German railway. There was a wagon in which satyas were transported, and which had air conditioning or not AC, I think you call it cooling. But the cooling did not work any longer, so one worker was sent to repair it. Now, when he was in the wagon, then the door was slammed and closed, and he could not liberate himself on his own. He knew that the human body can only stay for 6 hours in AC conditioned wagon. It's really more than AC. Let me say cooling wagon, a refrigerator, like a refrigerator. 6 hours is possible. So after 7 hours, the workers were opening this wagon, this refrigerator wagon, you know, like a huge refrigerator, and found this worker with all the symptoms of someone who had died from severe COVID. His lips are blue, and his eyes have symptoms, and everything was not moving any longer, sick. But do you know what they also found? There was no electricity in the car. In other words, there was no cooling. You don't go. That means you do not understand. He was dying from his mind. There was no calling in the
problem. He could stay and made a holiday for 14 weeks. No problem. But because he thought, oh no, I have only 6 hours left, then I will be frozen like a frozen sushi. This mind, which was very powerful, was killing him. You are what you think you are. If you think you are a brahmachari, yes. If you think you are a karma asia, krodha asia man, yes. Learn to control the mind. That's powerful by directing it on spiritual processes. You don't do this, you will be under the control of the mind. Now another thing, when you see how you are full of karma or the beginning stages of karma, you should take an approach which I always call change your mode. The moment I had this experience also, I'm editing very fiercely in a book. I'm trying to make a deadline, which is on the 20th. And everyone who stays with me knows it's very difficult to even, to see Dashinandan Swami, because I'm so much in this book project, which I need to finish. And therefore, I had no possibility to take care of my room. It looks as if an atom bomb had hit. Then my highly talented assistant came, Nana Kishore, and said, this looks like as if an atom bomb has hit. And he, when I was not there, he kindly put everything in order. He put the books properly, he put the letters, the paper properly, he filed everything, he put everything in place, and it looked like my kutta when I entered. And I remember that day when everything was so clean around, the concentration was so super extremely good, because there was a mode of sattva in the room. I could work double as good. I want to make this as a little side issue. Many of our brahmacharis keep their rooms as if an atom bomb has hit. Isn't it? The typical symptom. And our grihastas also, it is, we succeed. I don't want to say like this. One group does it more than the other. I do not know. I want to make a general principle. If you do things, if you keep yourself in modes which are like ignorant, you won't be able to perform as good. For instance, if you feel lust comes up, you should control your eating. Someone who eats greedily, lustily, will also have to do with lust. His tongue gets agitated, his belly gets agitated, and finally the little private part underneath the belt gets agitated. If you want to fight lust, which comes out of contact with the rajagun, and then it's mixed with tamagun, change your mood. It works wonder. Also, if you want to study, or if you want to have knowledge, go in the mode of goodness. Only in the mode of goodness you can act according to knowledge. Do you know, Ramanath Maharaj has given this thought, the example was good. That is very interesting advertisement. There's a young couple, Mr. and Mrs. Karma, who are sitting next to a very nice lush waterfall, and they're inhaling hot smoke. Cigarettes. And they say smoking is cool. Now there is this, then there is this little script, the health department of Bombay warns smoking causes injuries to health. Everyone knows this. Lung cancer and what not comes from it. But because the people are in the mode of passion, they cannot act on the platform of knowledge. Change your mode, then you can change yourself out of the lower modes of nature. Now, when lust gives you a phone call, ring, 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 eyebrow and the eyelids begin to flow. Then you don't have to look. Do something else. Look somewhere else. Because the Lord describes to us, by contemplating the object of the senses, we develop attachment, and then it goes towards attachment, then frustration. There are two possibilities. When you can fulfill the attachment, it goes towards greed. When you cannot fulfill the attachment, it goes towards anger, frustration. So don't look. Stop the road, the karma mark. In the very beginning, when you contemplate the objects of the senses, is the next process. The next is, so do something else. I want to give you an example which Ravindra Sarup once gave. Ravindra Sarup was once preaching in a place where celibate Christian priests were educated. And he gave one of his super nice intellectual lectures. And at the end, the priest said, can we ask you some personal questions? Yes. Are you observing celibacy? Yes. Ravindra Sarup, I'm a married man, I'm a celibate, but I also have family. We have the opinion that we use this for the procreation of Krishna conscious children, that this is in the service of the Lord, and this is allowed, but otherwise we are celibate. Okay, they said, you're almost like me now. But let me ask you a question. We have so many difficulties. Sometimes all we dream about is we could go and set a day out in the town. It was like a beautiful place out in the countryside. Out in the town with a girl. Just go around to the cinema, hang out, and you know, we don't need to discuss in detail. And so on. But we can't do it because we are obligated in the training period to stay celibate. It drives us crazy. And the Ravindra Sarup said, I would also go crazy if I would have the whole day this nonsense TV going on. You know, even a foolish toothpaste is sold by a half naked Mr. or Mrs. Kama. It creates impressions and then desires. So don't look in this direction. I once reached a congregational member who described that every night he has these intense desires in this direction. I do not want to say the detail. And I said, do you know what? Let us just take this picture down which you have here. And you will see. We put a Krishna picture there. It will go even better. It was a picture of Marilyn Monroe in her best days. Don't look in this direction. Stop the process here at the stage where you're contemplating. Then, and I want to come here to the end, and then give room for question. Mm-hmm. 2 points, even more. Elevate your vision. In some scriptures it is said, when a man sees a beautiful woman, he should see her as a cobra, which can be dangerous. Lord Chaitanya says that when I see the form of a wooden daughter of a woman, I become agitated. Now, for those of you who are women, you have to take the principles in this. When one sees the opposite sex, one might become agitated. So one has to be honest and say it's dangerous, it's a cobra. However, it's not recommended if you stay on this platform, because this is called negative meditation. Do you know, someone who thinks of a cobra thinks always of a cobra. Because a cobra is something very interesting to think about, because it strikes fear. Fear is an interesting thing to think about. So the next stage is therefore, you see all women as your mother, or the women see the men as in a way which one will see the sun. Someone, yes, he looks, the woman has a beautiful sun. Lust will not work there, because this is my son, he has to eat. There is no question of lusty thoughts in a civilized woman towards her son. So therefore the woman should see the man as her son. And the brahmachari, that is called being madhati, like this. But then this is also not the highest. The highest state, how you see the opposite sexes, there is an eternal self. My dear eternal soul, a part and parcel of Krishna. So you progress from this is dangerous, so this is a mother, so this is the soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Is this clear? Yes. Now, when we are grihasthas, we look towards our wife like this. She is a wonderful devotee of the Lord. I must help my wife to serve Krishna and become, because Krishna is a real husband. There is, but because we are helping each other here in this world, we will also, be as man and wife, and there will be some attraction between us in our happy relationship. But we will never ever forget that this is good for us so that we feel emotionally stable and natural, and we will use this happiness which we have with each other's company to serve the Lord. This is all right for Krishna. It is something natural, something humane. So, I'm taking this from a letter to Prabhupada. I have for all these quotes, but I have not really read so many because then it would become very long. But the ultimate solution, my dear devotees, is you must become attracted to Krishna. Someone who becomes attracted to Krishna will know Krishna without any doubt. Read this verse which I want to send to you. Maya Shakta Manapata Rodam Yunyam Madashaya Samshayam Samagram Yata Jasati Tatsuyo. Now hear, O son of Krita, how about practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, your mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. This is Prabhupada's most quoted verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita from Puriya, This is the verse Prabhupada gave. I was saying it wrong. I said most quoted verse. I should have said this is the verse Prabhupada lectured most of. From all the verses, he gives the most lectures. Because by this Krishna conscious yoga, where you try to bring your mind to the Supreme Lord Krishna, you can, Krishna can appear in your life. That is a good example. When the cloud is very positive, and the earth is negative, then the unseen electricity becomes seen. Wow, there's a flash. So we must become this extend from karma. We cannot allow our minds continue to be polluted by this versus of all devouring enemy of the world. We make this little endeavor and simultaneously practice Krishna consciousness. If we do a little by the other and simultaneously abhyasa, spiritual practice, then the unseen Lord will manifest as a flash of electricity which manifests between the cloud and the land. This is the ultimate solution which is described in the 11th canto, that by the process of bhakti yoga, one first develops bhakti, parishanubhava, direct experience, and then a detachment to the world. This is our process. This program is important if you are a bachelor, if you are a brahmachari, and if you are a grihastha. Because where is karma, there is no Rama. Where there is Rama, there is no karma. Where there is karma, there is no Rama. So, Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Do you have any question regarding all this? Yes, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'll be having first. Krishna Pralat? Yes, that's super. No, he has decided you.
As you told that that consists to look first of the mind of the program and then slowly from the other mother, all those two things show. And you said it is an advancement. I used to look towards a group of opposite sex partner, human being of opposite sex as a part of Krishna.
Yeah.
But how to do an advancement?
How to do the advancement? I want to tell you a little story, you will laugh about it. Once there was a king who had a bold head. But bold means no hair, not like the brahmachari who shaves. So he felt terrible because of this bold head. And finally, when no one could help him, he said to the minister, to one of his ministers, "You are supposed to be my most clever minister. If you do not supply a solution that I grow hair on my head, then I will kill you." Well, the minister knew he had to come up with a solution. Who wants to be killed? And he came next day. He said, "My dear king, here, take this oil. You apply it on your scalp, and then next morning you will have hair. But it only works if you do not think of red. While you apply oil in the evening, thank you, red."
Okay, make me look next morning. That's how it ended. You know, that's my absolutely don't think of that. And he went to the mirror and then he decided it wasn't her. He threw the oil against the wall and went out of his bathroom, totally disgusted, and said, "I will remain a bold headroom. Yes, maybe make a new design of the crown so that no one sees it. So how to make this advancement? By knowledge." Lord Krishna explains to Uddhava
that this body is really like a river. All the times the elements change. Look at your body, for instance. When it was a child, it had different elements. Then it's one week ago it had different. My elements 1 week ago were totally different because I went through an Ayurvedic treatment, high oil. But it changes in every person all the time. Our cells are dying. So it's like a river. It's not a constant permanent thing, this body. So in this way you become to understand. You understand that you are not the body, nor is anyone else the body. It's a flowing material element. I really would like one thing. I've studied about the Uddhava Gita, that Krishna makes such beautiful arguments how we are not the body. It is so analytical. Afterwards, he put the book aside. But how could I ever think that I am the body? It is a mystery for me. Yesterday I went into the Bhaktivedanta hospital, and after Vaishnava Seva had performed Vaishnava Seva, we both went into the operation theater and watched another wonderful devotee, Giriraj Prabhu, perform an operation. The operation was performed, but he was now closing the cut. They said it was a minor operation, but then they showed it to me on the Röntgen, on the X-ray thing there. They had to, the bone was totally broken, and they had to insert a metal piece, it was. So I wanted to see this, because I desire to understand that the body is a foreign element. And I was seeing how Giriraj was showing the wound like this. And how he was stitching it, and almost like a Mataji who was making, repairing the cloth of a little child, And yes, the body is a machine, a piece of cloth. Was extremely educated for me. And Giriraj was thinking I shouldn't say anything, but then because I always like to talk with devotees, I talked about my own hospital experiences, and Giriraj just listened and found me stitching it with a needle in my suit skin. You need to understand that you are not the body. There are two ways. This is you understand that you are soul. Here is the negative approach. This body is a mass of ignorance and it doesn't smell so well. Do you want to make it a servant on you are not the body? Please go. Tomorrow or today evening, and you're not going so late to bed, it depends, before the mirror in your bathroom, at full light. Just look into the mirror and ask one question to the image of the mirror. Is this me? Ask it for about minimum 3 minutes, maximum 10, because otherwise you will become crazy. You will see after some time a very strong feeling of that's not me, that's my body will come over you. Try it. But most of them, you have to really make it like not Bhagavad music, so you have to face the fact that there might be a realization which utterly shocks you. This is what Indra told to his two disciples. They should look into the reflection in the water and find out where is the self. Indra once taught two disciples. And one, after doing this, he immediately understood, I am me.
combining the two elements.
Mind, you know, at a higher level.
Action and knowledge on a higher level.
Yes. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're
saying? I hope that those who have listened to the two examples would come to this conclusion. You have done it. Yes. Yes. I am like this. I want people to think on their own. Yes. We use our energy, our useful energy, in Krishna service, really. This, the knowledge that we are part and parcel of Krishna, about myself in the Bhagavad-gita, there is really not much question of devotional service if you do not, if you do not understand that you are an eternal self. You must understand that I am a soul. It's very important because, my dear Lord, I am your part and parcel. I'm doing this for you. This is a meditation, devotional service. So, yes, you will see the lot of our activities which we do, we use our energy, and we use it in such a way that we are not at all affected by attachment. I remember this. Now it will shock my Indian audience a little bit. Please bear with me. Sometimes in the West, we devotees go to festivals. Sri Prahlad, the devotee who just asked the question, is an energetic, beautiful young singer in a group which is very, very well liked and very makes wonderful music. Sometimes festivals, I saw with my own eyes 50 or 60,000 people dancing to their music with the Hare Krishna mantra on in their mouth. It's wonderful. It's a mass kirtan. I remember in the beginning of maybe 15 years ago, we were in Germany on a very degraded festival. It was hot and the young boys and women were under the control of alcohol and other intoxicants, and because it was warm, they took off their clothes and began to throw themselves with buckets of water, and then they did things which are not allowed in Indian movies, which everyone would like to see, like anything. We were in the midst of it, patiently doing Bhajapure, singing Bhajapure, including Prashad and Samsha. And as I go back and think about it, there was no education in the devotees. It was an extraordinary festival. They were not there. But we wouldn't go to such festivals because these are not places for Brahmacharis, really. I remember, while we were engaged in devotional service, we were protected. Our book distributors all had this experience. Isn't it? When we go out, as long as we are engaged in devotional service, we use our energy on a higher level, we are protected. Now I want to ask the question which I will answer. I feel it's very important, this question. What will do if one falls down? If one falls down and cannot keep celibacy, if a grihastha breaks the principles with his wife, if a brahmachari does, or a bachelor does what is called in good language, the lonely passion, what if there is fall down? What should such a person do at that moment? Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita describes, even if one commits the most abominable action, he
if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in this determination. As long as a devotee, even if due to some contamination his mind goes and he thinks in a way which he doesn't want to think, or even if his head goes and he acts in a way he doesn't want to act, or even if in the Dehasta Ashram husband and wife cannot control their senses, if they have the determination, we sincerely want to overcome this, then Krishna excuses them. The only problem is when you make it a philosophy, oh, no one can follow this. This is too high, and you break intentionally the rules and regulations. In the West, this subject is a very important subject because large sections of our, not large, but some sections of our Grihastha Ashram feel not very satisfied. Many of you Grihasthas here who have come are very nicely situated. You have your job, you have your needs of income, and so on and so forth. But sometimes young brahmachari marry, and they don't have any proper plan for the future. They're drifting and they feel unsatisfied, and when they are so unsatisfied, lust attacks them and they fall down. Sometimes it happens that they say, no one can follow this, it is too strong. Then it is very bad. If you intentionally begin to break it, those principles, you promised it, Prabhupada's reaction to this one, you promised it at the Paya. You are not even a gentleman who doesn't keep his promise. At the Paya means initiation Paya. Good. So, I hope that, oh, this is so late. Why did nobody stop me? It's 9:30. I hope that you have enjoyed the presentation. Hare Krishna. I thank you very, very much for your kind attention. I wish you all the best in applying these spiritual principles, and in this way become successful in this life, and then go back home, back to Krishna. Do not think this is something very relevant to your spiritual life. Please follow it with best attention. So I'm thinking, because it is very late and you have to journey, we will not have a kirtan, but we will just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, 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 H
अष्टतः सरस्वती श्रीमती शिवाइंद्रेय शिलावे शरणरविंद शिलभक्तिवेदांत स्वामी महाराज शिलोपारी आनंद वैष्णववृंद की स्कन फाउंडर आचार्य शिलोपारी नमाचार्य शिलाकृति वेशतमो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य सरोनंद शिवरा शिवासोंद श्रीराधा कृष्ण रूपिनाथ शमकुंदराधा पुण्यी वृंदावन मधुरता नवशीर्मा नंदमय नमाय भक्तिदेवी हरिनाम संकृता कौतमन
on